So this is from the Shvilei Pinchas on Purim. There's two editions of it. There's an old soft cover edition. That's what we have. And this is the hardcover, the blue cover edition, Maimer Lamed Hay. Okay, so let's see. The piece is called Hanitzot Shaya Tamun Bahaman Harasha, Hu Hanitzot Shetamun Beklipas Esav. As Rabbi Rubenstein always says, you know, the idea of Baruch Haman, to be able to say Aur Mordechai and to say Baruch Haman, according to that Rizal, it sounds like you're actually supposed to say it. It's not like a theoretical that you're supposed to get confused. You're actually supposed to utter the words Baruch Haman. Because even in a Haman, there's a Nitzot Tov, there's a good spark, and that's what we're going to learn about today. That the good spark, the good Nitzot within Haman, is a nitzutz that really goes back to Esav, because there's a good spark within Esav as well. Okay, some of this we've touched on in the past, but some of it will be new. So let's see. He starts with the psukim in Perek Zayin from Megillas Esther. I'm going to read you the full pasuk. The pasuk says, this is after Esther has already called out Haman, and Achashverosh is very angry, and he gets up and he walks out into the garden, and he's feeling very frustrated. And then the pasuk says, "Va'amelech shav miginas habisan al beis hamishta mishta hayayin, v'hama nofel alamita asher Esther aleha, v'yomer amelech." That's what it says on the page in front of you. He comes back in, and he sees Haman is lying somewhat on top of Esther. V'yomer hamelech, "Hagam lichvoish asamalka imi babayis." Are you crazy, Haman? You're attacking Esther with me in the house. Like, did you not think you're going to get caught? Now Haman was just supplicating before Esther, begging for his life. You have to realize, some of the Mefarshim say that for a while now, Achashverosh had this paranoia that Esther was having an affair with Haman. So now he walks back in and he sees Haman collapsed on Esther, and all of his worst fears have been proven true. Hadavar yotza mipi ha-melech upnei Haman chafu. You see, it's hinted to in these words. Hadavar yotza, what do you mean? The words like fell out of the king's mouth. In other words, like Achashverosh finally said what's been on his mind for a while. Again, this is how some learn it. And Haman's face was ashen. He was terribly ashamed. Vayomer charvona echad min asarisim lifnei ha-melech gam hinei ha-eitz asher asa Haman le-Mordechai. Ah, don't worry, we've got an idea. Right, there's that tree that's out back. Asher diber tov al-melech. Right, there's that tree that was intended for Mordechai, who actually was pretty good to the king. Omid b'beis Haman, gavoa chamisha mama. So maybe we could take Haman and hang him on those gallows that he built. V'yom ha-melech tuluhu alav. The king says, you know what? That's a great idea. We should hang him. We should hang him on those gallows. V'yislu as Haman ala eitz, asher heichin l'mordechai, v'chamas ha-melech shechacha. Took Haman out. He was hanged from the gallows. And the anger of the king abated. Okay. So this is the major turning point of the Megillah. Shaninu bePirkei deRabbi Eliezer. It says in the Medrash Pirkei deRabbi Eliezer, beOsa Shah meAsa Eliyahu Zachor leTov. What was Eliyahu Hanavi doing at that moment? Who is this Charvona character who showed up and suggested the hanging of Haman? Nidma keCharvona echad misarise haMelech. Eliyahu Hanavi showed up as Charvona. Amr lo yesh eitz bebeiso shel Haman mibeis kodshei hakadoshim gavoa chamishim ama. There is a gallows that's been prepared in the backyard of Haman. It's made from the wood that actually was used in the assembling of the Kodesh Kadashim, and it's 50 amos tall, according to the pasuk. Ves ulam haamudim hasa chamishim ama arko miyad tziva melech letloso alav. So immediately they take Haman and they hang him from the gallows that he had constructed for Mordechai. Okay, so Eliyahu was the one who came in the appearance of Charvona. V'nei klal gadolhu. We have a rule from the Gemara in Tanis Daf Tes. Leika midi delo remiza ba'oraisa. There's nothing that's not alluded to in Torah itself. Im kein vaday sheyesh al kach gam remez b'megilas echster shenichtav abruach hakodesh. There must be some hint. I mean, this is interesting. What the Medrash is revealing to us, that it was really Eliyahu HaNavi presenting himself as Charvona who made the suggestion to kill Haman. But we need to find more of a remez to this within the Megillah itself, because there's nothing that our sages teach us that doesn't find expression within the text itself. V'tzarech bir eifo near Bazkan ki Eliyahu Navi nislabesh b'demus charvona. So where do we see any indication that Eliyahu Hanavi was the one who presented himself as Charvona? Where do we find that in the pasuk? Not that we're questioning it. We believe it. Chazal tell it to us, we believe it. But where is it hinted to in the pasuk? Od roi lizbonein ma'ra kadosh baruch hu al-kocha lishloach dafka es Eliyahu Hanavi. And furthermore, we have to wonder, why dafka Eliyahu? Why did dafka Eliyahu have to be the one to so to speak, take out Haman, to suggest the destruction of Haman? There must be some inherent connection between the mission of Eliyahu Hanavi and the downfall of Amalek and the hanging of Haman. So we begin with the words of the Arizal. We find in the writings and the teachings of the Arizal. Ki Esther Hamalka Sha'amra Alamelech Imalamelech Tov Yavo Hamelech Vahaman Ayom Elamishta Asher Asisi Lo. We find that even though the Megillah doesn't say Hashem's name even once, but we know that there are many hints to Hashem's name. And the Arizal points to a very famous one. The Arizal says, if you look in this pasuk, when Esther first invited the Melech and Haman to the party, it says, Yavo HaMelech V'Haman Hayom. Yudke Vavke. Yavo HaMelech V'Haman Hayom. Let the king and Haman come today. So you see, Yud, Yavo HaMelech, Hey, V'Haman, Vav, Hayom, Hey. Uveshas Kriyas HaMegillah Tzarech Lechavno Bein Shar HaShemos. And the person who's reading the Megillah should hopefully be aware of this and should have this Kavana in mind when reading the Megillah. In this shame, Yudke Vavke. But again, Tzarech Biur Mahu Inyan Hashem Havaya, she's Kira Esther Malka v'pasuk zeh. Again, why Dafke in this pasuk, as Esther is inviting Achashverosh and Haman to her Suda, to her party, why Dafke here do we find a hint to Hashem's name? Yudke Vavke, in order, four words in a row, why Dafke here? V'nira Levar Kol Zeh Al Pi Mashevanu B'mamar Makodmim. So I want to build off of something I told you earlier in some of the earlier essays of my Sefer, he says, based on a drasha from the Chassam Sofer. On the Pasuk, Hadavar, like we just learned, we just read the Pasuk, Hadavar yotza mipi ha-melech upnei Haman chafu. Right, the words came out of Haman's mouth. Are you attacking Esther with me in the house? And Haman's face was chafu, he was ashamed. So says the Chassam Sofer, an amazing remez. Chassam Sofer says, Ki Haman is Gematria 95. Now 95 is one of the magic numbers of Purim. There's certain numbers that go with Purim. 95 is one of them. If you look in the writings of the Bnei Yisachar, 95 has a lot of expression by Purim. So Haman, his name, the essence, his name is his essence. Gemara in Brachos Dav Zayin, a person's name reveals their essence. Haman is Gematria 95. It's a significant number. Ki Yad Al Keska. The battle against Amalek is what? The hand of Amalek is on the case, ka, which we said case is really kisei, minus the aleph. And ka, yud and hey, right, is half of Hashem's name. What's the gematria of case, ka? So chaf and samach is how much? 80. Plus yud and hey is another 15, is 95. About the throne of Hashem. Case, right, chaf, samach, yud, hey, is 95. What are we trying to restore by destroying Amalek? We're trying to restore Kisei David. What's the gematria of Kisei David, says the Bnei Yisachar? Kisei David. David is 14. Kisei is 81. Right, so 95. Kisei David. We're trying to remove Amalek's blocking out Hashem's presence. We're trying to bring Mashiach, the restoration of Kisei David and Malchus of Mashiach, and by extension, obviously, the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. All right, what else do we have, 95? Every month, has a letter that's associated with it. The Bnei Yisachar says the letter for the month of Nisan, which is a time of revealed goodness, is the letter He. The letter for the month of Adar is the letter Kuf. And the Arizal and the Zohar and the Bnei Yisachar explain that Kuf and He are actually very similar. Think about it. The letter Kuf is like a letter He with just a long leg. The letter kuf, like a kof. Kof means a monkey. A monkey is very good at mimicking a person. monkey has certain very human characteristics, but let's not, God forbid, make the mistake to think that humans come from monkeys. Right? It just, it's a good imitation, but it's not the real thing. A kuf looks like a corrupted, some type of imitation hay. Right? But the fact that it has that long leg of the kuf that dips below the line into, so to speak, the lower realms, that's always a sign of negativity. And therefore, kol ha-mosif goreya. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, sometimes when you add on, you actually take away. The fact that the kuf is like a big hay is actually that extra little bit is what makes it worse, not better. So the Zohar says that hay represents the Eishes Chayil, the proper wife, a proper relationship. And the kuf, the imitation, is the Eishes Zenunim, the prostitute, who promises you a certain type of love, but it's an empty type of love, it's a superficial love. It's missing the main aspect of what makes a relationship deep and real and true. Okay, so if that's all true, so says the B'nai Yisrael, the difference between kuf and hay is how much? 95. So to speak, you know, you have Adar, which is the last of the 12 months, you have Nisan, which is the first of the 12 months, you have Nisan, a time of true revelation of Malchus, Hashem's Malchus, and then you have Adar, which is Ahasuerus, who's trying to take over the entire civilized world. He's one of three, the Gemara says, who ruled the entire civilized world. So again, 95 is the difference between the world of true Malchus, the world of Hashem's Malchus, and the world of false Malchus. So Haman, of course, who's trying to establish his own, you know, dominion and Malchus, Haman is Gematria 95. 95 is a very significant number. Tzadi dalet mimenu betuma. So says the Chassam Sofer, an amazing thing. 94 out of 95 is Tamei. Like the Pasuk says, he quotes a Pasuk by Esav, that Esav was what? Was Tzad Tzayed. So 94, Tzad. Tzayed means a trap. 94 out of 95 portions of Haman is a trap. But Aleph, but one part, is Nitzot Kadosh. But one little bit of Haman is a holy spark. After all, does anything good come from Haman and Amalek? Sure. The Gemara says in Gittin Nun Zayin, he quotes it here, Shebnei Banav Shal Haman, Lamdu Torah Barab. The descendants of Haman were teachers of Torah. Whereas the Gemara says, B'nei Banav Shal Haman, Lamdu Torah B'nei Brak. V'oso Nitzot Nifrad Mimenu Terem Hatloso Aleitz. Right? And that little spark, so to speak, escaped, somehow was retrieved before Haman was sent to the gallows. And that's why the Pasuk says, when Haman realized his life was about to come to an end, it says, P'nei Haman Chafu. Haman's face was ashamed. Says the Chassam Sofer, Chafu is Gematria 94. Because at that point, Haman realized all of the evil of Haman, the 94 out of 95 parts, so to speak, was going to be sent to the gallows. And one little portion would remain, which would actually accomplish good things in the future. Okay, this is a very deep Chassam Sofer. We already spent some time extracting the sweet, beautiful lessons from the words of the Chassam Sofer. To explain what that one portion of goodness from Haman HaRasha is. But we're going to go further. We're going to go further in this sugya on the good point within Haman. Okay, again, this is one remez to it, but what does it mean? Let's go deeper. So, to explain it, he says, we need to go back a little bit to the Shoresh of Amalek, which is, of course, Esav HaRasha. Amnam Kedarka Shal Torah HaNidreshes B'Shivim Panim, but the Torah, of course, has many ways of explanation. So I want to go back and explain to you, Yitachin Lavar Inyin HaNitzus HaKadosh Shal Ha'alef Shayat Taman B'Haman HaRasha. I want to go back and explain to you this one point of goodness within Haman, as I explained in the Shvilei Pinchas and Parshas Toldos, Masha Matzinu b'Parshas Toldos acharei shalakach Yaakov me'Esav as habrachos shel Yitzchak. What was Esav's response after Yaakov, so to speak, got his bracha? Vayomer Esav al Aviv, habracha achas hilacha avi, barcheini gam ani avi. Esav petitioned his father after Yaakov got the bracha, give me a little bracha also. Esav, you're a Rasha. But Esav sensed that a little bit of bracha is shayach to. And that's going to be, again, that's going to be that little spark that gets passed down to Haman eventually. But let's learn the origin of this point, the origin of this nitzutz, this spark of tov, of bracha. Ubir kvod kedusha sad mor maran sar shalomi bells. The first bells the Rebbe explained an amazing thing. Ki Yitzchak begematria ches pa'amim shem havaya. What's the gematria of Yitzchak? 208. 208 is 8 times Hashem's name. 8 times 26. Okay. V'chol shem havaya hu bracha b'fnei atzmo. And each name of God, so to speak, is a bracha. What's the gematria of Yaakov, says the Belzer Rebbe? Yaakov is 7 times Hashem's name. Yaakov is 182, which is 7 times 26. Interesting. So Yitzchak is what? 8 times 26. Yaakov is 7 times 26. He's not focusing on it here, but Yosef is 156. Yosef is 6 times. All right, so you see sort of the passing around of God's name through the generations. It's sort of a Yeridas Hadoros. Yitzchak is 8 times God's name. Yaakov is 7 times God's name. Yosef is 6 times God's name. So look what happens here. If Yaakov is only 7 times Hashem's name, so what does that mean? So wait, Yitzchak, but you're 8 times Hashem's name. So Esav, so to speak, says to his father, if you gave 7 portions of blessing to my brother Yaakov, that means what? Habracha achas hi l'cha avi. Father, you still have one little bracha left. There's still one bracha that you can give. There's still one more little bit of Hashem's name that you could transmit to me. And that's what Esav says, Barcheni gam ani avi. Father, bless me as well. I also want a little bit of the bracha. Continuing in the next paragraph. So I always was bothered by this. I didn't understand. I get the math. I understand what the Sar Shalom is saying in terms of the mathematics. That Yitzchak is begematria 8 times Hashem's name. And Yaakov is 7 times Hashem's name. Ulam tzarech bir. But what I don't understand is madua be'emes masar Yitzchak liyakov rak zayin brachos mi zayin pam shem avaya. Why didn't Yitzchak? If Yitzchak has the ability, so to speak, to give over all 8 dimensions, and Esav is now about to scoop up that 8th dimension, so why didn't Yitzchak initially give it to Yaakov? Why did he only give Yaakov 7 brachos of the 7 names of Hashem? V'nishar etzlo bracha achas mishem havaya shmini. Why did he keep that 8th one? Shakach amar lo Esav. That gave Esav the possibility of saying, habracha achas hi l'cha avi, b'cheni gam ani avi. Right? Yitzchak, you created this possibility for Esav to get that last name. That sounds really bad, no? So says Rav Pinchas Friedman, I never understood. Why didn't he just give it to him from the start? Why didn't he give it to Yaakov, give him the full dimensions of Kedusha? Why did he hold back? So he explains 2 lines before he turned the page. Ulam yadua mashamru chazal. We have a rule from the Talmud Yerushalmi. And that is what the Yerushalmi tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Divrei Torah aniyim b'mekoman v'ashirim, turn the page, b'makom acher. Sometimes the Torah is poor in one area and rich in a different area. In other words, sometimes if you want to understand what's happening here, you have to bring from over there. We're used to this from learning Torah. Right? You want to understand the sugya in Maseches Brachos, sometimes you need a gemara in Maseches Menachos. You want to understand this sugi over here. So Tosa says, well, how does it shtim with Bava Kama over there? So we're used to trying to put together, so to speak, this puzzle of Torah and to connect the pieces. Sometimes the area where you expect to find the answer is not where you find it. It's poor in that area, but it's rich in another area. Okay. So says Rav Shvilei Pinchas, Rav Pinchas Friedman, I found the answer. I think I found the answer. The answer, perhaps, is in the Panim Yafos. We mentioned the Panim Yafos the other day. The Panim Yafos, we said, was the brother of Rav Shmelka of Nicholsburg, who, we had the story, right? Where's the milk? Couldn't see that Rav Shmelka couldn't even see the milk because it was not Chal Yisrael. So his brother, the Panim Yafos, again, Talmidim of the Magid of Mezrich, the early world of Chassidus. So the Panim Yafos of Parshas Vayishlach says, I think I have the answer. Shemafarish Gam came by Atzma Remez Akosov. He also explains this Pasuk. Habracha achas hi l'cha avi barcheini gam ani avi. That Esav got that extra dimension of blessing, and he explains as follows. Okay, chaver, take a look. Os beis. Mevuar b'zohar hakadosh. The holy Zohar explains in this week's parsha, Parsha's Truma, shekol ish Yisrael tzarech la'avodas Hashem im zayin midos shemitzad hakadosh. We need to use all of our emotions, all of our midos, all of our character to serve Hashem. So what does that mean? We know the seven lower spheros, chesed, gevura, tiferes, these are all character traits that we have to embody. Netzach, hod, yesod, malchus. Each of these seven traits are expected to be practiced by us. Right? We want to be like them. Sheva b'yom hilaticha, amishpatei tzidkecha, David HaMelech says. Right? It alludes in part, the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Aleph says, to the seven brachos we make by Kriya Shema. Right? The Birchas Kriya Shema by day and by night. We have seven brachos in total. But it also alludes to the seven midos that we try to praise Hashem with by embodying them. So just like Lecha Hashem HaGedula VaGevura VaTiferes HaNetzach HaHod Ki Kol V'Shamayim VaAretz, just like Hashem, you have these seven character traits, as it says in Divrei HaYamim, so too we want to embody that. We want to be that. V'nei Kfar Amar HaChacham Mikol Adam, like it says in Kohales, Gam Zeh L'Uma Zeh Aseh Elokim, which means, that word, Perush, K'Shem Shebitzar HaKedusha Mishoresh Yaakov Avinu, Yesh Zayin Midos. Just like in a positive sense, we have Zayin Midos. We want to use Chesed and Gevurah and Tiferes and Netzach and Hod and Yesod and Malchus. We want to use all of them in a healthy, positive way. So too, there are Zayin Midos of Klipa. There's bad Chesed. There's bad Gevurah. There's bad Tiferes, etc. He says at the bottom of the first column, Bo Re'ei Mashabir HaImre Yosef. Go and see what the Imre Yosef, the Rebbe of Spinka, writes in Parshas Vayetze. Why Yaakov Avinu went to the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever for 14 years. Why Dafka 14 years? He explains at the top of the left column, right, the second column. Ki ritzono letakin es hazayin midos. Because Yaakov Avinu understood, it's not just enough to understand the seven positive aspects of Chesed Gvur Tferes Netzach Hod Yisod Malchus, but it's also important to prepare myself to understand what those seven represent in the negative. Until now, I only needed to know the seven and the positive. I've been living in a home of Kedusha. But now Yaakov says, I'm on my way to where? To Beis Lavan. I'm going to the most corrupted, perverse, and backwards-thinking place on planet Earth. So I need to spend time, 14 years, not only to refine the positive aspects of these midos, but also to understand how they express themselves in the Sitra Achra, in the negative. To prepare myself for Yira, Hispiros, Nitsua, Choda, Hiskashros, Memshala, each of these seven emotional attributes. Kenoda, Dezayin, Midos, Heim, Ba'adam. These are the seven character traits of a person. V'chola, Pu'ulo, Sha'adam, Eno, Yotze, Mizayin, Midos, Elo. And all of my activities emerge from these feelings. V'noda, Diyesh, Zayin, Midos, Bekedusha, U'kenegdam, Yesh, Zayin, Midos, the Sitra Acha. And that's exactly what Yaakov was studying during those 14 years. In the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever. So now, who had, so to speak, these seven kochos of tuma? So we go to the bottom of the second column, Os Gimel. Alpia Amar, based on this introduction, that there's seven positive character traits and there's seven negative character traits. Now we can understand, says the Panim Yafos, the Inyan, that Yitzchak's name is seven. Yitzchak's name is eight times Hashem's name. And he gave seven of those midos to Yaakov. Let's read inside. Apia Amar Mevara Panim Yafos Inyan Shmona Panim Paamim Shem Havaya Shinir Maz Bishmo Shel Yitzchak. Now we understand why Yitzchak is Gematria 8 times 26, 8 times Yod Kei Vav Kei. Ki Ayos She Yaakov Kolel Zayin Midos Mitzad Kedusha. Yaakov, you are the embodiment. Yaakov, you're the wholesome person. You're the embodiment of these seven midos. In positivity, top of the next column, Hinei lo na'e v'loya lekabel zayin brachos. Yaakov, you deserve to what? To receive zayin brachos. It's fitting. That matches up with your character. You're a person who has these seven midos, so you deserve seven dimensions of bracha. What about Esav? What's the story with brother Esav? So he says in the next paragraph, Lefiza mevuar panim yafos. Ki kashem shenirmas b'shmo shel Yaakov, zayin pa'amim shem havaya, shekibel miyitzchak aviv. Just like Yaakov is 7 times 26, these 7 blessings corresponding to the 7 midos that Yaakov lived and acquired. Kei nirmaz b'shemo shel Esav, zayin midos mitzara tumah. Esav, so to speak, is the embodiment of these 7 character traits in the negative. Why? Says the Panim Yafos, because how much is 7 times tumah? What if we take each of these traits, the Tameidika version of these things, not the Kedusha, not the holy and pure version of these things, but what about the Tameh version of these things? What's the Gematria of the word Tameh? 50. Okay, so what's 7 times 50? 350. What's the Gematria of Esav?
76.
So if 7 times Tameh is 350, and Esav is 376, so how much... There's one more Yerkei Vavke, right? You see it? Shabbat, you got it? Seven, Tameh is 50. Tameh is actually 50, right? 7 times Tameh, meaning if you represent the 7 dimensions that Yaakov represents in Kedusha, if you represent them in Tumah, so 7 times Tameh, 7 times 50 is 350. The Gematria of Esav is 376. In other words, so Esav, so to speak, is all the Tumah in the world. But what? There's still room for a little what? A little bit of connection to Hashem. There's room for 126, so to speak. Ah, so maybe Yitzchak in some way. Yitzchak, who has how many powers of 26? He's got 8 to share. So he gives 7 to Yaakov. That matches up perfectly with who Yaakov is. But he saves maybe one little bit for Esav. This is part of the very deep sugya of Yitzchak's belief in Esav, which we see throughout, right? He's not just a foolish old man who's blind and can't understand the deceptive nature of his son. He understands that there's a certain potential in Esav. There's a certain hope that Yitzchak has in Esav. Right? On a pshat level, he's just being deceived by Esav. On a deeper level, he recognizes a deep truth that even in the wicked Esav, there's a potential for something good. There's a little bit of good. Right? There's a little bit of good. There's a little bit of Kedusha that could be found even within Esav. Okay? Go to the fourth column. Go over to the fourth column, the second paragraph. Al pi bir ha-panim yafos, yumtuk lahavin ma'amarim b'gemara. With this panim yafos, we can now understand what the Gemara says in Bava Kama, Daf Chaf Gimel. The Gemara says, eres nachash bein shinav hu omed. The poison of the nachash lies between its teeth. What does that mean? The poison of the nachash, so to speak, lies between its teeth. Upeirish hagra mivilna explains the Vilna Gaon, quoted in his sefer, which he didn't write, but a collection of his teachings called Kol Eliyahu. Al pi medrash, the medrash says she'ein nachash memis ela hachet memis. The snake doesn't kill, but rather chet kills. Who knows the story of Rabbi Chanina Mendoza? One of my favorite Gemaras. I can never remember exactly where it is, but now I gave myself a remez to remember where it is. It's Brachos Daf Lamed Gimel. This Shabbos I actually made myself a remez to remember where it is. What happened with Rabbi Chanina Mendoza? What's the story with Rabbi Chanina Mendoza? Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, there was an arod, there was a certain type of dangerous lizard snake that was terrorizing the town. It was biting people and killing them, poisoning them. So they called in a snake killer. Who's the snake killer? Tzaddik by the name of Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, who was known to be a shtickle miracle worker, more than a shtickle miracle worker. They called in Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, and they showed Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa the lair. They showed the hole in the ground where the Arud lives. So Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa came. What did he do? What did he do? He put his foot over the hole. They said, Rabbi, you're crazy. Don't worry, I got this. The snake came up, the Arud came up, and bit Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa on his heel. And bit his foot. And what happened? The Arud died. The snake died. So the Gemara has such a gevaldik lashon. You don't have a Gemara brachas? I love it. I have to. The Gemara says, the same snake that was biting people and killing people, now the snake bit Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, and the snake died. So the Gemara says, it's brachas daf lamed gimel of an aleph. The bracha says, ma'isa b'makom me'achot shaya Arud. By a mazik asabios, bo vodi alo Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, Amar Lahem, Heruli Aschayro, show me his hole in the ground. So they showed it to him. Nasan, he placed his akev, he placed his heel, al pi achor, over the pit, over the hole. Yavtza, the snake came out, it bit him, vames. Right? Rechanina picked up the arod, picked up this big snake, he put it around his neck like a scarf, you know, flung it over his shoulders. Ve'evu la'beis ha'medrash, and he brought it into the beis ha'medrash. Amar lahem, re'u, pay close attention, my dear children. Ein arud memes, elahachet memes. Exactly what he just quoted from the medrash. Right? It's not the snake that kills, it's our aveiros that kill. A snake can't harm you if you don't have aveiros. Ba'usa shah amru, and here's the line that I love so much. At that moment, they declared in the beis medrash, Oy la adam shapaga ba arod. Woe to the person who encounters an arod. Oy lo la arod shapaga ba bichanina mendosa. Woe to the arod who has an encounter in bichanina mendosa. Right? Most people, the arod is a poisonous, venomous, dangerous, murderous snake. Right? But woe to the arod that starts up with a bichanina mendosa. It's not the snake that kills. It's our aveiros that gives us the ability to be vulnerable to an animal. How do I remember it? Well, it's part of this zikr thing, to remember Daf Yomi. There's this guy, his name is, not a guy, he's a Chashuv Rav, Avram Goldhar. So it's an amazing thing. He does these memory techniques to remember, for people who are learning Daf Yomi, to remember 3 points from each Daf. So Daf Lamed Gimel, every Daf has a simon. Every daf has a way to remember the daf. So daf lamed gimel is a leg. Lamed gimel is a leg. So the simon is a pirate with a peg leg. And the pirate is reciting Havdalah on the coast. And he's praising Hashem too much, because the Gemara says you shouldn't say more than what we're allowed to say. Hakel, right? Hagadol hagibur v'hanora. But we don't say more than that. Sometimes saying too much is called the Moisev Goreya, saying too much takes away. And then his wife yells at him, you don't have Yir HaShemayim. Because on Daf Lamed Gimel and Brachos, it says, HaKol B'Yidei Shemayim Chutz MiYir HaShemayim. So those are the 3 points you remember. The Sugya of Havdalah is on Daf Lamed Gimel. Not praising Hashem too much is on Daf Lamed Gimel. And HaKol B'Yidei Shemayim Chutz MiYir HaShemayim is on Brachos Daf Lamed Gimel. But I realize on Shabbos, I'm always trying to remember where the Shabbat Chanina Mendoza Gemara is. So I said, why should the pirate's wife yell at him that he doesn't have Yir HaShemayim? I'll let Rabbi Chanina Mendoza with a snake around his neck yell at him. He doesn't have Yir HaShemayim. So that's how I remember it now. If Chanina Mendoza is yelling at the pirate with the peg leg, who's saying Avdala, you don't have Yir HaShemayim. So that's how I remember. I always remember it's around, Lama Gimel, Lama Dalet. So now that's my technique. But it's awesome. This guy is amazing. It's really amazing. You can remember, he puts these crazy pictures in your brain, and you remember where things are in Shas. It's really awesome. You can check it out, zichru.com. I'm a big fan. Okay, so says the Vilna Gaon, based on this medrash, but we now know it's also a Gemara. She'ein nachash memes, but he's using the, why is he not quoting the Gemara? Because he wants to use the word nachash, as you'll see. It's not the snake that kills, it's our aveiros that kill. Explains the Vilna Gaon an unbelievable remez. Va'amar alzeh remez nifla. Ki ha'os yois ha'emtsoyos bein nachash and satan hu chet. Take the word nachash. Hey, what does it say? The poison of the snake is between its teeth. So look at the word nachash. What are the two letters at the end of the word nachash? Nun and shin. Teeth. Shin. It's a tooth. Look at the word satan. What are the ends of the word satan? Teeth. Another tooth. So now we have teeth. Right? And where's the poison? What does the Gemara say in Bava Kamma? Between the teeth. So what are the letters between the teeth? Between nachash you have achas. Between Satan, you have Tes. You have Ches and Tes. That's Chet. That's the essence of the word Chet. Now, you'll tell me Chet is spelled with an Aleph, but we've explained this many times in the past, that the essence of the word Chet is the Ches and the Tes. The Aleph, when we spell Chet, Ches, Tes, Aleph, what's the Aleph? The Aleph represents actually what we're learning, this Nitzotz Tov, that even when you do an Avera, there's a little bit of a connection. There's still an Aleph, still a connection to Hashem. Tshuva, there's a way to come back. That's what the Aleph. But the sinful part of the word chet is ches and tes. Right? That's why the Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't eat egozim on Rosh Hashanah, because egoz is gematria chet. What's the gematria of egos? Aleph, Gimel, Vav, Zayin? 17. What's the gematria of chet? 18. Right, with an aleph it's 18. But the ches and tes, the sinful part of the word chet, the ches and tes, the poison of the snake, right, is between its teeth. It's the ches and tes. So what are the letters that are, so to speak, on the outside of Nachash and Satan? Shin and Nun. Ah, Shin and Nun. That's 350. That's 7 times Tamei. That represents all of the negativity of Esav. So again, we're just deepening this idea that this number 350, right, is very much a kusher. It's very much connected to sources of evil. It's connected, it's so to speak, the teeth from which the snake shoots its poison. So Esav HaRasha, again, Esav represents 7 times Tamei, that's 350. But a little bit of good is found within Esav. Turn the page. But there's a little bit of good that we're trying to identify. Hey, let's go to Os Dalet. Next page. Hine kvar hevanu b'maymer hakodem, mashakosov hagoyin hakadosh hachido zatzal. I explained in the previous piece what the holy Svardin Shagaon, the Chida, writes in his Sefer Midbar Kademos, which is a very interesting collection of short ideas arranged alphabetically. It says in there an amazing idea. Mordechai hu Gilgal Yaakov, the Haman hu Gilgal Esav. Wow. So the whole fight between Yaakov and Esav is very much mekusher to the fight between Haman and Mordechai. Yaakov and Esav, Haman and Mordechai, Mordechai and Haman. Me'ata lo niflesi lomar. So now it makes a lot of sense to say, ki kishem shahanitzot hakadosh hamachayes Esav. So just like Esav was given what? That one little bracha from Yitzchak. Because Yitzchak had one little yurkei vavke left. He only gave 7 to Yaakov. Because Yaakov is 7 times 26. And Esav says, I'm 376. Which means I'm supposed to have, I'm mostly Tamei, I'm 7 times Tamei, I'm 350. But I have one little 26 left. And he got that from his father Yitzchak. So it makes sense to say, says Rav Pinchas Friedman, it makes sense to say that somehow this little spark that sustained Esav is also this little bit of Kedusha that's found within Haman. Kain Haman Gilgal Esav. Hachiyas Shabo Hayimahanitot Kadosh Shema Vaya Shmini. Somehow it also is drawn from that extra Yudke Vavke that Yitzchak gave to Esav, except that by Haman, right, it's not 26, but what is it? What did the Chassam Sofer tell us? Haman is gematria 95. 94 portions are bad, and 1 portion is good. Ela itzal Haman Hashem Azeh Ramuz Ba'os Aleph HaYisera Mispar Tzad K'divrei Chassam Sofer. It's that one little bit more, right, than the 94, which is the bad part of Haman. There's one little part, which is the good part. Now, at this point, we have to start being honest, because we have a problem. The problem is, well, why was it Yudke Vavke by Esav, and now it's just Aleph, it's just one out of 95 by Haman.
Haman is a lot worse than Esav.
Okay, so again, there's a certain Yerida Sedaros, right? So the spark, so to speak, within Haman, within Amalek, is going to be that much smaller than it was even within Esav. At least Esav was a child of Yitzchak Avinu, albeit a rebellious one.
Or you could say that 26 is hidden.
Ah, so look what he writes. Ubira inyan hu al piyam avu ar b'tikune zohar. How do you make the letter Aleph? The letter Aleph actually is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Why? Because how do you draw the letter Aleph? Look what he writes here. Os Aleph is made up of a Yud and a Vav and a Yud. So you make the letter Aleph, Yud Vav Yud. That's how you write it in proper Hebrew Ashurah script, Torah script. Right? A Yud Lamala, a Yud Lamata, and a Vav across the middle. So in other words, right? Another way of expressing Yud Kei Vav Kei of 26, right, is an Aleph, which is also, in a certain sense, if you break it down, it's gematria 26. So he writes in the left column, the next column, the second column. He quotes again, top of the column, Matzasi Bedrashos Chassam Sofer. And I actually found written in the words of the Chassam Sofer himself, Hine Os Aleph Hu Yud Lamala, Yud Lamata, Vav Be'emsa, Hu Chav Vav, Havaya Yisbarach Shemo. If you understand what the letter Aleph is, you understand that that letter Aleph itself is Yud Kei Vav Kei. And it actually is very deeply connected to the sugi of Amalek, because let's go back for a second. Zewa os hachasr min kisei. What do we say Amalek tries to do? Kiyad. So in other words, they understand on a certain level that Aleph is another way of blocking out Hashem. They're blocking out Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? It only says case, it says chaf samach. Ukeshahaya havaya shalem, when Hashem's name is complete, so that restores the Aleph. And Aleph, in a certain sense, is a name of Hashem. Because broken down, it breaks up the name of Hashem. And that's why so much about the Megillah is about the restoration of the Aleph. Restoring the Aleph means restoring Hashem to the world, as he explains in the next paragraph. Hine ki kein kasher higia zman lahoitzi anitzot ha-kadosh, Hashem havaya shmini, shayetamun bahaman ha-rasha, v'tomer Esther el ha-melech. Who speaks to the king? As Haman is about to go to the gallows, it says what? Vatomer Esther el ha-melech. Who's really speaking? Yes, a woman named Esther is speaking, but who's really speaking? Says Rav Pinchas Friedman, the Aleph Seser is speaking. The hidden Aleph is speaking. Haman, you're Gematria 95 until now, but you're about to become Chafu, you're about to become 94. Chafu, we said, is Gematria 94. Your Aleph is about to be taken back. Until now, right? Esther, so to speak, has been, so to speak, hiding that Aleph. And now she's going to take it for herself. So, Vatomer Esther El HaMelech, Esther Daika, Shehu Aleph Seser, Lerameh Shetafkida Bekodesh Lahotzi Es HaAleph HaMustar B'Soch Haman. She's about to take the Aleph back. And by the way, who's Esther talking to? Vatomer Esther El HaMelech. What's the match of HaMelech? 95. So Haman's about to meet his match. Vatomer Aleph Seser. Right? The Aleph, so to speak, is speaking to the 95 that Haman embodies. Right? More than that, we can go a step further, he says. He says, L'ramis shirak hu yizbarach b'chocho levatal klipas Haman, b'gamatria tzadi hei. Right? Haman is about to be negated, because the pasuk says, ki macho emcha ezecher amalek mitachas ha-shamayim. Because macho emcha, right? That the destruction of Haman and Amalek really comes from Emcha, I will destroy. Who's the I? Hashem says, I have to be the one to do it, in a certain sense. So she's calling on Hashem to destroy, to finish off Haman. And that's why the pasuk says, Im al hamelech tov. If it's good by the king, then what? Yavo hamelech v'haman hayom. What was our question? Why is there a hint to Hashem's name? The Arizal told us, Yud Kei Vav Kei is hinted here. Right? So why Dafka here does the Arizal say, this is better, when you're reading the Megillah, make sure you have good Kavanah for these phrases. Yavo HaMelech V'Haman Hayom. And she's inviting them to the party. She says, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Because this is the party where we get back that last Yud Kei Vav Kei that was given originally to Esav, is expressed in a microcosm through that Aleph, that 195th within Haman. Esther, the Aleph Seser, is about to take back that last bit of Kedusha and bring it back truly into the realm of Kedusha, to take it back from the Esavs and the Hamans of the world. Okay? Everyone following? Any questions? The piece is clear? It's all lining up? Okay? Bottom paragraph of the second column. V'nira lehavi simuchim l'peirish. That I can go further in proving this to you, as it says in the pre-Eitz Chaim of the Arizal, Kol Hashemos Shitzarach Lachavin Mishas Kriyas Megillah. In the Priyas Chaim, it tells us all the different names we're supposed to have in mind when we hear the Megillah, or when we read the Megillah. Ve'echad mehem hu Hashem Avaya Shitzarach Lachavin Rashi Tevos HaPasuk Hadavar Yatza Mipi HaMelech Upnei Haman Chafu. Now this is a tricky one. Look at it carefully. Top of the third column. You see it? It's our Pasuk again. It's when Achashverosh comes back in and he sees Haman collapsed on Esther. And he yells at him, he says, what are you doing? And one of the names, it's not straight, and it's not even four words in a row. But the Arizal reveals to us, Hadavar Yatza Heyud. Right? Now there's two words in the middle there, Mipi HaMelech. Upnei Haman Chafu is Vav Hey. So you have all your letters. You have Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey. But it's in a strange kind of order. Right? What's going on there? So he says, "V'ata bo re'ei ki mamish ha-pasuk zeh, derosh derash Moshe Rabbeinu hachsam sefer." It's dafka, this pasuk, that Moshe is referring to Moshe Sofer. The Chassam Sofer darshin. Shiva Maimer Zeh Yotza HaNitzot HaKadosh Shal HaAlef Mishmo Shal Haman. It's dafka in this moment that the Aleph is being taken back from Haman. And like we said, like the Chassam Sofer said, Pnei Haman Chafu. Chafu is Gematria 94. Haman's about to lose that extra little spark. So it's dafka what? It's dafka this order. It's this arrangement of Hey Yud Vav Hey. What's going on here? Look what he explains. Vuvur Heitiv Inyan Hashem Avayish Etzorech Lechavin B'Pasuk Zeh. I can explain to you what this arrangement is about, this Hey Yud Vav Hey order. V'yishlomar ki tamze nirmas kan siruf Hey Yud Vav Hey. Hadavar yatza upnei haman. Hey Yud Vav Hey. What is that? Ki tziruf zeh yotze mi pasuk hamer yimirenu v'haya hu. Okay, so let's pause for a second. Okay? Happens to be perfect timing to learn this piece, because we're mamish on the cusp of entering into Chodesh Adar, and we're coming out of Chodesh Shvat. Let's do a little review. Every month has a name of Hashem that's connected to that month. Right? An arrangement of Yud, Kei, Vavke. You could rearrange the letters Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey 12 different ways. So every month has a different arrangement of Hashem's name. Which month is Hashem's name straight, Yud, Kei, Vavke? Nisan. Which month is Hashem's name backwards, Hey, Vav, Hey, Yud, completely backwards? You would think. You think Av because it's the worst, but Av's not the worst because Tu B'Av is very good. So what month is Din from beginning to end? Tishrei is the month of Din. It's a good guess. Thomas. 3 weeks. The 3 weeks. You'll say Av, but the worst part of the 3 weeks is Chodesh Av. It's true, but then you have Tu B'Av, which Lohayom Tovim LiYisrael, like Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. Tu B'Av is very good. Okay? So Tammuz is a month that's Kula Midas Adin. Tammuz is Hashem's name backwards. Okay? What's the name of Hashem for the month of Adar? Haba Aleinu L'Taiva?
Probably a good guess is Havaya.
I'm going to say Havaya. No. It's Hey Hey Yud Vav. Hey Hey Yud Vav. How do you explain it? So I'll give you two quick explanations. In the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, which letters are Chesed letters? Which letters are Din letters?
The Heys are Din.
Hey is feminine, right? Is Midas Adin. Female is associated with Midas Adin, Gvura. And Yud and Vav are masculine letters are associated with Chesed. So what is Hey Hey Yud Vav? What's a way of explaining Hey Hey Yud Vav? It's complete Din to complete Chesed, right? That's sort of the feeling a Jew has going through the Purim story. We're facing the most threatening, scary enemy of our life. We're about to be destroyed, the entire Jewish people. And then, v'nahafachu, it turns into mamash, the biggest simcha. So, hey, hey, a double dose of Midas Adin turns into Yud Vav, a double dose of Chesed. Okay? It's one way to understand it. My father likes to say, another way to remember it is if you learn the first Mishnah of Maseches Megillah, how does Maseches Megillah begin? When do you read the Megillah? When's the Zman to read the Megillah? Megillah Nikreis, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tesvav, Lo Pachos, Velo Yoser. We read the Megillah on the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, or 15th of Adar, not earlier and not later. We don't read it when? On the 10th. We don't read it later on the 16th. No? You got it?
10th and the 16th.
10th and 16th. Yeah? Hey, hey, it's 10. Yud Vav is 16th. Right? So it's sort of the bookends of in between 10 and 16, hey, hey, Yud Vav, hey, hey is 10, Yud Vav is 16. In between then, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, is when they read the Megillah. Okay, so that's the name of Hashem for the month of Adar. Hey, hey, Yud Vav. What's the name of Hashem for the month of Shvat, in which we find ourselves as we make the final preparations to transition to Chodesh Adar? Hey, Yud Vav, hey. Take a look at the page in front of you. Hadavar yatza upnei haman hey yud vav hey. Now that's the hint in the Megillah. But what's the actual pasuk that teaches us hey of hey? What is the pasuk? He has it on the page in front of you. Hamer yimirenu v'hayahu. Trevor, you see it on the page? Anyone not see where it is? Hamer yimirenu v'hayahu. Anyone know what that's talking about? It's a Masechta in Shas. Hamer Yemirenu. Hamer Yemirenu, Maseches Tumura. What is Maseches Tumura about? It's in Kadshim, right after Arachin. Tumura is about an animal that's been declared holy. And then you decide, I don't want to give this animal to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to try to remove the Kedusha from this animal and put it onto another animal. You can't do that. That's called Tumura. You're not allowed to exchange the animal for another animal. What happens if you try to do that? They both become holy, and now you have to bring both of them. Okay? So in that context, the Torah says, Vayikra Perachav Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Yikra Perek Chavzayim Pasuk Lamed Gimel Parshas Bechukosai, very end. You're not allowed to exchange a good animal for a bad animal or a bad animal for a good animal, right? Ve'im Hamer Yimiranu, and if you try to do it, Vahayahu Utmuraso Yakodesh Lo Yigael, then it and its exchange both become holy. Okay, so if you try to do it, Hamer Yimiranu, if you try to exchange it, Vahayahu, both it. End of the pasuk is utmuraso, and the exchange yihya kodesh. They both become holy. Okay, hey yud vav hey. You know what's geshmak about this little piece of pasuk? Well, it's hints to the name for the month of Shvat. Hey yud vav hey. Okay, but you know what else is significant about this pasuk? Hamer yimirenu v'hayahu. Right? Hamer yimirenu. Think about it like this. Hamer yimirenu. When an exchange takes place, v'haya hu, right? What does the word v'haya imply? Who knows what v'haya is a code word for? What's v'haya a code word for? What's v'ayihi b'mei a code word for? Something bad's about to happen. V'ayihi b'mei achashverosh, the Gemara says in Megillah, whenever you see the word v'ayihi b'mei, something bad's going to happen. When you see the word v'ayihi, what's it a code word for? V'ayihi. Could be good, could be bad, depends on the context, the Gemara says. What's Vahaya? The Medrash says Vahaya is always a Lashon Simcha. It's mamish the words that Esther used. Esther says, my people have been exchanged. They've been sold out, right? Someone tried to do Tvur with the Jewish people. Someone tried to kidnap the Jewish people. To sell them out. And who is it? It's Haman. It's this wicked man Haman. So Esther says, but now, v'haya. Now we're going to make a simcha. V'haya is always a lashon simcha. And you know what we're going to do? Who? We're going to do who? What do we mean to do who? What are the missing letters that a malik blocks out? Kiyad al kes ka. Again, the end of Parshas B'shalach. What does it say? What letter is missing from kisei? The aleph. What letter is missing from Hashem's name? Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. We just have Ka. We just have Yud and Hey. What's missing? A Vav and a Hey. So what three letters are we trying to get back from a Malik? Hey, Vav, and Aleph. Okay? Those are the missing letters of Kei, Ka. Hey, Vav, and Aleph. In other words, who? We're trying to get back Hey, Vav, and Aleph. Who? So Hamer Yamirenu Vahaya, who? Until now, the Jewish people have been sold out, have been exchanged for some money, as Esther's crying before her king, right? And it's this Haman HaRasha who's sustaining himself off of a tiny bit of Kedusha that was trickled down from Esav, which he got from Yitzchak. But now the tables are about to turn. Hamer Yimrenu, we're about to make an exchange the opposite direction. V'haya, we're about to make the biggest simcha. We're about to create Purim Mamish in this moment. And who we're about to get what? The hay and the vav and the aleph back from Amalek by taking back that little spark that exists within Haman. Right? And everything's about to change. So that's why the Arizal says this arrangement, Hadavar Yatza Upnei Haman, Chafu, right, is rooted in this idea of Hamer Yamirenu Vahayahu, which again is really the name of Hashem for the month of Shvat. But as we transition to Adar, or as the simcha of Adar is about to be created through the downfall of Haman, again, there's a lot that's being merumas to here. And again, I'm adding a little bit differently than the way Rav Pinchas Friedman is explaining, but I think it's bringing out the true point. Okay, all right, let's finish up the maimer. Oshei, Avodas Ish Yisrael Lahotzi Shem Avayim in Esav. Our avoda, chevra, is to always try to speak to a little bit of kedusha. That means they're going to be able to sustain themselves. They can live off of that little bit. In Yenifla Ze Poseach Lefaneinu Shar Chadash Lahavinu Haskel. We've now opened up a new gate to understand this whole sugya. This whole sugya of Esav having a little bit of a connection to Hashem. Again, continuing, he says where it's bolded. He quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyah. V'imtotzi yakar mizolel kafitiya. Explains Rashi. Imtotze adam hagun me adam rasha. Shetachzirenu lemutav. Right? If an adam hagun, if a proper person, could take back, so to speak, from an adam rasha, to turn it into something good. Kafitiya. Sha'ani geizer gezeira va'atam avatla. That you have the ability with your peh. And Esav was so deceptive with his pet, Sayed Bipiv, right? If you use your mouth properly, you're able to what? To overturn a gezerah. Think about it. How did we win on Purim? It was all tefillah. It was all davening. It was fasting, not putting food into our mouths. A lot happened through the mouth on Purim. It's interesting to think about, right? Which is why a lot, in a positive sense, has to happen through the indulging of the drinking of the mouth and the singing of the praises of Hashem on Purim. A lot has to do with the peh. Last with the pet. Well, maybe we'll develop it another time. Tefillah and Purim is a very big inyan. Bo rei mashakasa betoldos Yaakov Yosef. So look what the toldos Yaakov Yosef wrote in Parshas Yisro. Noida ki ikar v'tachas hakol b'chol avodaseinu b'toru v'tefillah. V'kavanas ha-mitzvos v'kavanas achila. Everything that we're trying to do is levar u'lahalos nitzoytze kedusha b'toich amke aklipos. We're trying to get back those sparks of holiness that have found expression, that have found their place amongst the klipa. In other words, sometimes Esav has a yod kei vav kei, we want to get it back. Sometimes Haman has a little bit of an aleph, which again is just a contracted yod kei vav kei, and we want to get it back. And when we get it back, we bring the geula, as he quotes in the next paragraph. And again, I'm moving quickly because I want to finish up in time. But the Navi Yeshaya says, ki ayin ba'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem tzion. Right? We'll see Hashem, so to speak, eye to eye, when Yud Kei Vav Kei finds its way back. In other words, the battle is always trying to get back that Yud Kei Vav Kei, to take back that Havaya from Esav and from Haman. Or as the Pasuk says in Ovadia, V'alu Moishim Behar Tzion Lishpor Eshar Esav, V'haisa LaHashem HaMalucha. Again, to try to get back the Yud Kei Vav Kei into the realm of Malchus Shemayim. Turn to the last page. So now, let's understand very, very clearly and very deeply. It's Mamish Gavaldik. Yivinira al piak dama nifla azu, niskavin David HaMelech ni'im zmiros Yisrael. Now we maybe understand what David HaMelech, who's very connected to this whole thing, because again, Kisei David is Gematria 95. We want to restore David's throne to this world. David's not about David himself, David's Malchus. David says, I have nothing of my own. I just want to be a vehicle to express God's presence in this world, to manifest Hashem's presence. So look what David davens. David davens over and with and through an interesting instrument. Lam natzeach b'neginus al hashminus, mizmor leDavid. What is this lam natzeach al hashminus? Rashi explains, al hashminus, kinor shel shmona nimin, Vishminis Shemo. Rashi explains, Pashup Shah, there was an instrument that had eight strings and it was called the Shminis. Some type of kinor, some type of harp that had eight strings. Okay, different instruments have different strings. Yeah? How many strings are on a guitar? Six strings on a guitar. How many strings are on a bass guitar? Four strings. How many strings on a ukulele? Four strings. How many strings on a full-size harp? I don't know, a lot. 16. I'm not sure. 46, yeah? No. I'm not sure. So David had a small harp called the Shminis. It had eight strings on it. Okay. Very good. But Chazal explained that what's the concept of eight? We all know what eight represents in Machshava, in Jewish thought. Right? As the Medrash says, as the Medrash Shoicher Tov explains, Tehillim Pei Aleph, Ba'olam Hazeh Shiva Nimen B'kinor. In our world, there are seven strings on the harp. The way that it's explained is that in a musical scale, right now, there are seven notes, right? Yeah? Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, di, do. Do is back to the first, right? Do, do. It's the same note. It's just one's deeper, one's higher. There's seven notes in the musical scale. Yeah? On a piano. There are seven notes before you get back to the same starting note. It just sounds a higher pitch or a deeper pitch. But there's seven notes. In the future, Chazal revealed to us there's going to be an eighth note. Eighth note, what do you mean? There's no space for an eighth note, right? There's seven notes in the scale. Ah, but there's going to be something that's Lamala Min Ateva. Eight is Lamala Min Ateva. Think of all the Chanukah Torah is about eight. Okay. V'chein hu b'gemara erchin, and the Gemara similarly explains in erchin this idea that there's going to be an eighth dimension, right? Not just an eighth string, but it's really an eighth dimension. So now, let's see. Before Mashiach comes, the kinor hakadusha, the holy harp of Klal Yisrael, is a harp of seven strings, connected the seven names of Yudke Vavke that Yaakov gave, received from Yitzchak, because one dimension was given to what, to Esav, but we long for the day where Ayin ba'Ayin Yir b'Shuv Hashem Tzion. We long for the day when that eighth dimension is going to be given back to us. And where is that eighth dimension for the interim? It finds expression by Esav, who got that one Yud Kei Vav Kei. It finds expression by Haman, who got that Aleph, which again is that contracted Yud Kei Vav Kei. But David HaMelech, who represents that world of Mashiach, Lam Natzeach Al Hashminis, David HaMelech is longing for that day, that what? That we're going to get back that eighth Yud Kei Vav Kei. And isn't it interesting, says Rav Pinchas Friedman, if you read that parak in Tehillim, Al Natzeach Miniginus Al Hashminus Mizmor LeDavid, how many times does Yud Kei Vav Kei appear in that parak of Tehillim? Eight times. Because David HaMelech is davening for the day, right? And he lists them in the second column. David HaMelech is davening for that day, and we'll have all eight back. Right? Hashem, it's Tehillim Parak Vav, it's Tachlan. Hashem, in your wrath, do not rebuke me. Chaneni Hashem, Hashem, have mercy on me because I'm in a weakened state. Rifaeni Hashem, right? Va'ata Hashem ad Masai. All these Hashems, Hashem, 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 eight times. Because David HaMelech is longing for the day when what? When with Mashiach, sorry, we'll get back that eighth dimension from Esav and from Amalek, and then we'll be Zoichet to the Gula Shlema. So now we have one opening question that we haven't addressed yet. And he concludes in the final section, section Zion. It's Gavaldik. Yumtak letet bezet ham leshvach shel Yoanavi nikra b'shem Pinchas. We know from many sources that there's a very unusual and cryptic and mysterious relationship between Eliyahu and Pinchas. Right? That Pinchas, who killed Cosby and Zimri, somehow becomes one with Eliyahu Hanavi in some mysterious way. Pinchas hu Eliyahu, says the Medrash. Whereas the Gemara says, when it asks, Rabba Bar Avua, as Eliyahu, kishamatsu bebeis hakvaros, he says, Lav Kohen Humar. Eliyahu, how could you be in the Beis HaKvaros? What was he asking? Rashi explains, because Eliyahu is Pinchas. And Pinchas was given Kahuna. Pinchas was a Kohen, right? So Eliyahu is Pinchas. Okay, Eliyahu is Pinchas. Eliyahu is also very much connected to Mashiach, so it makes sense that Eliyahu would be involved in it, but it's further than that. This is Pinchas Friedman in the third column. V'yesh Lomar, Tam L'shvach, Lama Nikra Shemo Eliyahu. Why is he called Eliyahu? What does Rashi explain on the pasuk? Ki yad al kes ka milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek midor dor. Hatam shekasuv kes, it's missing an aleph, and ka, it's missing a vav hey, it's missing part of Hashem's name. Ki kolz man sheshemo shel Amalek kayim, because as long as Amalek is in the world, ein hakisei shalem ve'ein Hashem shalem. The kisei is not complete, and the name of Hashem is not complete. So in Gullis, we're missing again, like we said, the letters Hey, Vav, and Aleph. So look at this. V'hine, Eliyahu Hanavi, Asid Lavasir Lanu HaGeula. When Eliyahu is the one, the harbinger who comes to announce that the Geula is coming, to tell us that the letters Hey, and Vav, and Yud have been restored to their place. Look at his name, says Rav Pinchas Friedman. His name, Eliyahu, is the Osio, is Lihu. To me, is the Hey, Vav, Aleph. Right? The letters Hey Vav Aleph have been restored to me. Klomar Kfar Yeshli Osios Hey Vav Aleph. And now I can make an announcement. Mashiach's coming. Like we say, HaRachman Hu Yishlach Lanu Es Eliyahu Anavi Zachor Letovi Vasser Lanu Besoirus Tovos Yeshuos V'Nechamos. What are we saying? HaRachman Hu Yishlach Lanu. Right? What's Harachman? Who yishlach lanu? Harachman, who yishlach lanu? Who is those letters? When those letters come, then yishlach lanu is Eliyahu. Because Eliyahu is lihu. Once I get my letters back, then I become Eliyahu, and I can tell, v'yivaser lanu, b'soros tovos, yeshuos v'nechamos, I can tell you about all the good things that are on their way. So who else is Eliyahu? Eliyahu is Pinchas. Ah, gavaldik. Says Rav Pinchas Friedman. Very fitting. Says our Rebbe Pinchas Friedman. He says, adayin sarach biur. What does this have to do with Pinchas? How does this connect to Pinchas? So he explains, what's the gematria of Pinchas? He says in the last column, if you add up the gematria of Pinchas, Pinchas is 208. Pinchas is the same gematria as Yitzchak. Pinchas is 8 times Yudkei Vavkei. So Eliyahu HaNavi, who is Pinchas, when Eliyahu gets back, so to speak, that 8th dimension, the one that Esav originally got, and the one that Haman then got, when we get it back, then what? Then he comes to the rescue and he says, okay, it's time to bring the Gula Shlema. So now we can answer the question that we started with. Right? By the way, Geula, the very word Geula, look at the word Geula. What's Geula? What is Geula?
Galhu.
Galhu, that's right. What does Gal mean? Galenai. Galenai. Gal means to what? Megillas Esther. What do we say? Megillah means what? To be Megalet, to reveal. Galhu. Hashem, reveal those hidden letters that are blocked out by Amalek's hand. Let them be seen in the world again. Right? Galhu, reveal those letters. And Eliyahu should be able to say, ah, Lihu, the letters have been given back to me. And now I can come. Eliyahu is Pinchas. We have all 8 dimensions. Amaseach al-Hashminis. Like David HaMelech Davin, Gvaldik. So, however, we have one last piece, which is what? Who does Eliyahu, who's really Pinchas, present himself as in the Megillah? Charvona. Who's Charvona? What's Charvona? Last paragraph on the page. Alpia Amor Yesh Li Yashiv Masha Diktiku Amafarshim. What does it say in the Megillah? Charvona, if you're paying attention in the Megillah, every letter matters. Sometimes Charvona is spelled with a hey. But sometimes Charvona is spelled with an aleph. Interesting. Kila'el b'Megillah, when we first met Charvona in the Megillah, his name was spelled with an aleph. V'kan kishabo le'yayitz la'chashverosh, but now he's coming to talk about what? The destruction of Haman, to hang Haman for the gallows, he spelled Charvona with a hey. Ach lefi ha'amor, yesh lomar, shabo le'rameiz al Eliyahu ha'navi, sh'neslavish b'dumus Charvona. Right? We wondered, why did Eliyahu have to come as Charvona? Charvona was a real person. Why did Eliyahu disguise himself as Charvona? What's going on there? Right? I understand now why Eliyahu had to come, because Eliyahu has to be the one to, so to speak, take back that little spark from Haman. Right? Pnei Haman Chafu, to turn Haman back into Chafu, 94, as we get back that last 195th, that fifth, that one, that last dimension. But Eliyahu came as Charvona kedei lahotzi Hashem havaya hashmini shu tamun b'haman arasha. Therefore, what is the name? How is it written? Charvona. What does that mean? Charvona. Charvona. Why is it spelled with a hey? His real name is probably with an aleph. So it's spelled with a hey, he says, because Charvona is what? Charbona. What is Charbona? What is Char? It's much of Char. 208. So Charbona. What is Boina? Building. What does that mean? Bona. Sheboina oisam Eliyahu bebinyan shel kedusha b'shleimus tmuras oiso shem avaya shmini shahaya begalus b'soy chatoma ki kein tafkido b'koydesh levaser lanu esikula b'merev yameinu amin. So Charvona, right? Charvona, he's not really explaining super clear necessarily why it's Aleph or Zayin. He's saying Bona, we have to explain more Bona. We'd have to explain a little bit more what that word is about, why dafka to be bona. But again, we're building, we're rebuilding, so to speak, char, the 208. In other words, we're getting back that 8 times 26. 8 times 26 is 208. Pinchas, 208. Yitzchak, 208. That little bit of good that was given to Esav and eventually given to Amalek, right? And by the way, part of the good of the Amalek is simply the fact that Haman had to scare us into reaccepting the Torah, me'ava. There's something very good about having gone through this Purim experience. But when it's all said and done, it's time to take back that spark once and for all, right? To move us closer to the Geula Shlema. B'nei Banav Shal Haman Lamdu Torah B'nei Brak. The children of Haman eventually learned Torah in Bnei Brak, it came back into the realm of Kedusha. And again, this is part of the avodah every year on Purim, to fight, to get back that last little bit. We're so close, we have so much of what we need to bring that Geula, but that last little bit we have to fight to retrieve from Esav Rasha. Again, it's wonders, it's niflaos of the Megillah. It's mamish, unbelievable secrets of the Megillah being revealed to us by a very clear and comprehensive mimer from a great tzaddik who's alive in our times. And by the way, if you're ever in Eretz Yisrael, go visit Rav Pinchas Friedman. He speaks English, he's very accessible. I know guys who've gone to his house for Shabbos. He's really, he's a person you can meet with. He comes to America sometimes. He's really warm, he's gavaldik. You met him, Nani?
No,
I spoke in DRS. He's gavaldik, he's sweet as can be. Mamasha, an awesome Talmud Chacham. Okay? So we thank our Rebbe, even though he can't hear us from a distance, but we thank him for teaching us. Okay, Shkoyach. Good stuff.